Reuben Hurricane Carter wasn't the guy depicted in the movie The Hurricane. There were parts of that movie that weren't necessarily factual. I don't pretend to know what kind of a guy Reuben Carter was, other than I met him, and he was he seemed very gentlemanly, a very nice guy. Obviously, this was after the fact, after he got out of prison and relocated to Toronto. Reuben Hurricane Carter passed away in Toronto this weekend. Jerry Eisenberger, the Newark Star-Ledger, joins us to talk a little bit about him. Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
We're excellent. Who was Reuben Carter? Well, he wasn't.
Well,
he wasn't.
Which Reuben Carter you're talking about?
Yeah.
Reuben Carter, up until his incarceration, was pretty much one person, and at that point became another person. Is my view. I knew him, and actually, he became a better guy. I mean, I don't recommend that for anybody, but I mean, he really was a tough guy to know and get along with. Before he was, and I will say he was railroaded. We you know, Patterson's only about 15 miles from Newark, so we had a tremendous coverage of the trial. I did not cover the trial, but I know from the guys who did. The Passaic County powers that be really wanted him in jail. And, I mean, there was a witness whose credibility was absolutely impugned, and he came back, and he testified again. And then there was the way they rushed him into trial. There was so much of what they called evidence that was really refuted. It's the reason why there were two trials. And my own opinion is, I hate to use the word framed. It's a hard thing to say. He could have been guilty. What I know about is the way the government, the way the county government handled it, and they really were totally culpable. I will say, at the very least, he was railroaded. Now, I knew him long before that. I knew him when he was broken. He was an aspiring boxer. He was managed by a construction guy whose wife was an astrologist and charted the stars before she would let her husband pick a date for him to fight.
Wow.
I mean, there's a comedy of crap surrounding it. He could punch, and he was menacing in his appearance. I think he intimidated a lot of the guys he fought. He was, I would say, a pretty good fighter. I wouldn't call him a great fighter. I'd say he was a pretty good fighter. On the night that he fought Giardella for the title, he was no fighter at all. He did nothing. And interestingly enough, we had a young lady who used to work for our paper who called me up and said, "You covered the fight. I want you to tell me about those mafia guys and the guns and this and that." And I said, "I'll be right over and save some of that stuff you're smoking for me." because I saw him after the fight the next morning. And he said, "I just didn't fight. I don't know what was wrong with me. I don't know." And I don't know what was wrong with him. But he got licked by a guy who was probably 12, 13 years older. Was on the last. Giardello had a long, long career. Was on the end of his career. My scorecard for that fight, and that's the only one I care about, read 10-5 at Giardello. So there was no robbery as far as that goes. Reuben won a lot of fights, and he could punch like hell if he had the confidence. I remember going to a training camp. I don't know what fight it was. I went up to see him at Easton's camp, which Lewis trained there for a while, up in Summit, New Jersey. And we spent the whole day together. I watched him work. We talked. He told me great stories about his youth and how, in fact, when he was a kid, he used to play minister and preach, because he's a very eloquent guy. And then, probably about 3 in the afternoon, this old Buick drives up, chugs up the hill, this steam coming out of the radiator. The guy gets out of the car, and he runs over, they hug, and he introduces the guy to me as a guy named Rooster, R-O-O-S-T-E-R. And he said, "My old buddy," and everything. And Rooster goes back to the car, and he pulls out a fifth of whiskey. And Reuben had, I would say, no more than 2 drinks. And I would say within the span of about 20 minutes. And then he turned to me and he said, "What the F are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, what I'm doing here is leaving. Goodbye." And he had become a totally different person. And I, it's the only time I ever saw him drink. It's the only time I ever saw this happen. I don't pretend to be an expert on Rubin's problems or whatever they were, but I know what I saw that day, and alcohol really turned him into a totally different person.
It's fair to say, Jerry, that this guy was not totally accurately depicted in the movie, and I understand movies take the license to Hollywoodize the story, and you know, but in the movie they glossed over and didn't even gloss over. They didn't even mention that this guy had been in juvie as a kid, that he'd been arrested numerous times, that he had something of a violent past. All prior.
He did, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but because you're so right. And you know the way that you can get around it is, next time you see something, the story of somebody's life, watch the opening frame, and it'll say based on a true story.
Right.
Then they can go ahead and go nuts. Rubin was not a very desirable person before all this happened. He was a guy that was, he was a great interview. If he was, you know, if he had nothing else distracting him and he was sober and whatever else, it was a great interview. He'd sit down and no matter who he sat with, he would be very forthcoming, told about his past, told about the problems he had. But that's who he was. And he had a hair trigger temper. And there's no question about that. He demonstrated that several times after he got out of jail. I don't know what went on in Toronto, but I know a woman that claimed she had the crap beaten out of her, and the story sounded very credible. And that was in New Jersey. So in answer to your question, he was a very troubled guy. He was a guy not restrained about expressing himself physically. But the Reuben Carter later on was a very... Well, one thing I'd like to clear up. I know there was a group in Canada that was very active with him, and I'm sure they were. But what got him out of jail was an advertising executive named George Lois, big hot in the age of the Mad Men, Norman Mailer, and Bob Dylan.
Wow. Curious group.
Who was going to anybody but them? You know, that's what got him the attention. And... they believed in him totally. I knew all three of them. Well, I didn't know George Lois very well. And I certainly knew Mailer extremely well. And you couldn't tell them anything. And I didn't want to dissuade them because I believe he was wrongfully convicted. I'm not going to say he was innocent. I don't know. But that trial was so rigged against him, both trials. He had no shot at all.
Would our perception of Reuben Carter going into the trial had been different from a moviegoer's perspective if we'd known his history? I mean, clearly there'd be much more of an assumption of guilt here, Jerry, than there was.
Well, that was the problem. It was like, well, he did it, and we'll do whatever we can to prove it,
right?
And in any way, shape, or form, and it will make it. We'll turn it into acceptable proof. I mean, he had a lot of strikes against him going into that trial, and they were self-made. You know, it's very hard to take if a guy's a public figure and there are stories about the guy that, and they turn out to be true. Some of them, it's very hard to find. And he was hot news in that area, that Passaic County area, which is where Patterson is. So that I don't think there was anybody who didn't really, maybe on the jury, who really didn't know who he was and what his past had been.
Do you think this is Butch Carter? Do you think, knowing at the time how tough it was for someone like Reuben, that he ever could have gotten a fair trial in the environment that was
not
going on?
Not in that venue. And it interested me. I think his lawyers were public defenders. I don't know, but it sounds like it because I know of no attempt, and I could be wrong about this because I didn't go to the trial. But I know of no attempt to get a change of venue.
Yeah, when I look at the history of that area and you know, the crime that he was accused of, it seems to be quite difficult that he was going to get a fair trial in that environment. Especially, you know, it wasn't today's times. You had social media. You had video cameras everywhere.
Listen, it was twofold. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it was twofold. One was Reuben Carter, because of his track record, is probably not going to get a fair trial. And the second part of it is, when that happened, racial tensions in Patterson were really frayed. I mean, were hanging on by a slender thread. And race certainly played a part in that trial.
Well, I mean, that's always interesting for Canadians and our listeners to understand, because, you know, African-Americans didn't get the right to vote in the U.S. till 1964. You know, it wasn't like we got the right to vote in 1764. We got the right to vote in the Bill of Rights that President Johnson signed was 64. And this was...
Well, no, that was supervising. That was enforcement.
Correct.
They had the right to vote, you know, shortly after the Civil War. But in the South, there was nobody to enforce. There were poll taxes. There were all these dodges, you know. Well, you're going to be, you have to take a literacy test. And they'd give you something out of Chaucer to read. And the next guy would come up and they'd say, what does that sentence say? I see the cat. Okay, you can vote. You know, the white guy. And it wasn't that the right, they didn't get the right in 64. The government got off its ass and then started to enforce that right. And that's what made a difference. And, of course, that angered a lot of people, you know, going back and forth. People are creatures of habit, and it's very difficult. I'm very fortunate. I grew up in a tremendous household, and I never heard those ugly words in my life. And my father was an immigrant, and he knew what he was grateful for, what he had over here. And my wife is a black woman, so that stuff, you know, never permeated me. But it was there was tough in this country for a lot of. I know, because my wife was a black woman, I was a white guy, and we ran into some of it, you know.
Of course.
It were tough times.
And I think the movie, going back and remember watching the movie, that was a time in which everything they put Denzel in was to promote Denzel as an actor. And so,
oh, yeah, that's what it was all about. You couldn't be more correct. That's what it was all about.
Right, that movie
the
was
story,
about...
And nobody bothered to learn this story. You know, the story of Reuben, if you don't mind, I don't want to dominate this conversation, but...
Not at all.
The thing that strikes me, the story, Reuben Carter's story has only villains in it, including Reuben Carter, to an extent. There are no heroes in that story. Until later on, I think the group in Canada, I don't know much about their work, but everything I've heard has been laudatory, so they're heroes. But they didn't get him out of jail, no matter what they might like to think. It was that New York-based, high-powered, look-at-me celebrity group. They did it. And they were behind the concert in the Garden, you know, the benefit concert.
Yes.
And it was a different... I knew him, and people would always ask me, what about it? Did he do it? And all I could say is I wasn't there. It seems from the preponderance of evidence that he did not do it. But how much of the evidence is ever got to the trial to exonerate him? Almost nothing. And they had impeachable witnesses who fingered him, so, and got benefits from the state for doing it. It was just a sad, sad story, and what makes it sad, maybe in a different time. Okay, I like to believe that somehow good can surface. Maybe in a different time when we were past the racial tensions and we were past it. You know, Reuben Carter might have been a totally different person. Might have been. I don't know anything about his physiognomy or his psychological makeup, but he could have been a better person, but he could have been given more benefits of the doubt earlier. And he was an extremely, and I emphasize that, he was an extremely bright guy.
It is interesting to note, and significant, I think, to note to those who have seen the movie and may feel as though they know a little bit about Reuben Carter, that John Artis, who was the man who was convicted with him in 1967, when Reuben Carter got sick, John Artis moved to Toronto to become his caregiver. And I don't know what that says, but it tells you something, I think, about the character and the person that he was, doesn't it?
Well, they were very close. And remember, everything that Reuben Carter went through, if you date it from the arrest forward, everything he went through, he shared with John Artis.
Of course, right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's got to, and if you believe you're innocent, and who knows, I tend to believe they were, what kind of a bond can that build between you?
Right.
You know, when they take you and throw you behind walls and bad things happen there, worse things happen there. So yeah, that makes sense to me. I was curious to ask, I never saw the movie deliberately because I just felt it would only confuse the issue even more. But my question to you, since you saw it, did he win the Giardello fight? I mean, do they indicate he won it?
They indicate that he won the fight or had a chance to win the fight.
Yeah, no chance whatsoever.
Right, and then it was basically a brown Rocky with Denzel.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you put me on because I want to. The guy was a very unusual guy. I think the people in Canada only saw the good side of him because I think that's how he was living there. I wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? And down here, the people saw the bad side of him, and they didn't care that he got convicted of a crime, which I'm sure he didn't commit. So it was like two Reuben Carters. And I remember I mentioned that little anecdote I told you about the whiskey. I don't know how much of that played in his life, but I know one thing. The Reuben Carter, after those two drinks, was not the Reuben Carter I had been with all afternoon.
Well, the one thing I can tell you is the Reuben Carter, after he got out of prison, moved to Toronto, seemed to me to be an exemplary citizen. And he became executive director of the Association in Defense of the Wrongly Convicted.
Right.
And, you know, he seemed to do the right things with his life. And things that it occurs to me you would do if you indeed had been wrongly convicted of a crime. You would have that passion. He gets out of jail after 19 years for a crime he claims he didn't commit. If he had committed those crimes in actual truth, does he go on to be, a spokesperson for those that have been wrongly convicted? If he really hadn't been in his own heart, hard for me to imagine that. And unless, you know, again, I don't know. Maybe after 19 years, you convince yourself you didn't do something, even if you did it, maybe.
Absolutely, but I don't think he did it. I mean, he did it. He got look, I know some folks who told me that they would cross the street, women would cross the street when they saw him coming in Patterson. He was who he was, and then he became who he became. I mean, it sounds ridiculous. You know, it sounds like a satirical movie, but he was those two people. And through it all, good and when he was bad and when he was later good, he had a great mind.
Yeah.
And that's why I truly believe that had Reuben Carter come along later in the century, in the millennium, when things were very different in this country, I think his life might have taken a turn in a very good direction. So I can see him the way you describe him. It's just we didn't get to see much of that before the thing happened. He was a very... Being a tough guy is one thing, and being a bit of a bully is something else.
He may have been both. Jerry, good of you to take time for us today. We greatly appreciate it. Always enjoy our conversations. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Jerry.
Jerry Eisenberg of the Newark Star-Ledger. Again, Reuben Hurricane Carter passed away at his home here in Toronto on Sunday of prostate cancer. He was age 76.